5 missiles. 20 minutes, $58 billion gone. And the U.S. Navy just quietly rerouted its next supply ship around the entire continent of Africa to avoid what happened next. Here's what nobody is telling you. Deep in the southern Red Sea, 85 kilometers off the coast of Yemen, a massive American naval supply vessel was moving through the night. Routine mission. Standard cargo, heavy escort. The crew had made this crossing before. Nothing about that night felt different. Then the alarms went off. Within 4 minutes, the ship was taking fire. Within 20, it was gone, sunk in 2,400 feet of water, dragging its cargo to the ocean floor. And that cargo? That's the part that changes everything you think you know about this conflict. The vessel was the USNS Robert E. Perry, a T-8-class dry cargo ship, 689 feet long, weighing 41,000 tons at full load. Built not for combat, but for one critical job, keeping American warships armed and operational in the most dangerous waters on Earth. That night, it was carrying interceptor missiles, thousands of them, the exact weapons U.S. Navy destroyers need to shoot down the drones and ballistic missiles that Iran and its proxies are launching across the region every single week. And every single one of those missiles is now sitting on the bottom of the Red Sea. Let's talk about what was actually aboard, because the numbers are staggering. The ship carried an estimated 1,200 Standard Missile II interceptors. Each one costs $2.4 million. It carried roughly 400 SM-3 anti-ballistic missile interceptors, $15 million each. Around 800 SM-6 missiles designed to kill both aircraft and enemy ships, $4.3 million per unit. Approximately 6,000 evolved Sea Sparrow short-range interceptors at $1.8 million apiece, and around 2,500 rolling airframe missiles, close-in, last-ditch defense, at nearly $1 million each. Add the Tomahawks, the spare ammunition, and the rest of the weapons inventory packed into that hull, and you arrive at an estimated total value of $58 billion in destroyed munitions. $58 billion gone in 20 minutes. But here's the part mainstream coverage completely glossed over. That wasn't even the most damaging loss. The real cost wasn't the dollar figure, it was time. Raytheon currently manufactures the SM-2 at roughly 125 missiles per year. The Perry was carrying 1,200. That's nearly a decade of production sitting on the ocean floor. SM-3 production runs at around 60 units annually, and the ship carried 400. Do the math. That's more than 6 years of output destroyed in a single attack. ESSM production for U.S. inventory runs approximately 500 per year. The ship carried 6,000. 12 years of production. Gone. Total estimated replacement timeline for everything on that ship, assuming maximum factory output with no competing orders? Roughly 47 years worth of combined production capacity. And the war didn't pause to wait. Now let's talk about how Iran actually did it. Because understanding the weapon is understanding why this problem has no easy solution. The attack came in two waves, deliberately sequenced to overwhelm the ship's defenses. The first wave was 3 C-802 anti-ship cruise missiles, Chinese-designed, Iranian-produced, sea-skimming weapons that fly just 10 to 15 meters above the water at subsonic speed. They're designed to stay below radar until it's almost too late. The Perry systems detected them at 35 kilometers out. Not much time. The ship itself had minimal defenses. 2 phalanx CIWS mounts. That's all. Supply vessels aren't warships. They're built to carry things, not fight. The escorting destroyer USS Gridley fired SM-2 interceptors and destroyed 2 of the incoming cruise missiles. The third broke through and hit the waterline at the stern, causing flooding but not sinking the ship. That's when the second wave arrived. 2 Kotfars anti-ship ballistic missiles, Iranian-designed, launched from Yemeni territory under Iranian direction, came screaming down from the upper atmosphere in nearly vertical terminal dives, traveling at speeds exceeding Mach 5. These are not cruise missiles that fly flat and low. These are weapons that drop from above. They're exponentially harder to intercept. The Gridley's Aegis system engaged. One was destroyed mid-flight. The second maneuvered, evaded the interceptor, and hit the Perry amidships, punching through 3 decks before detonating directly inside the cargo hold where the ESSM missiles were stored. What followed wasn't just an explosion. It was a chain reaction. Missile fuel, warheads, stored munitions, igniting in sequence, a catastrophic cascade. The ship broke in half within 6 minutes. Both sections sank within 14 minutes of first impact. All 126 crew members were rescued. That is the one piece of good news in this entire story. But now consider the exchange ratio Iran achieved that night. 3 C-802 cruise missiles, 2 Kh-Fars ballistic missiles, total Iranian expenditure, an estimated $5.2 million total American loss, including ship and cargo, approximately $59 billion. That's a return on investment of over 11,000 to 1. Let that number sit with you for a moment. 11,000 to 1. Iran spent $5 million to destroy $59 billion in American military assets. and they still have hundreds of these missiles in reserve. Meanwhile, the weapons they just destroyed take decades to replace at current production rates. This is not a tactical skirmish. This is a financial attrition strategy. And on paper, it's working. Now here's where things get even more uncomfortable. The U.S. Navy's entire operational presence in the Middle East depends on a logistics chain that runs 8,000 miles from weapons factories in Arizona and California to combat ships in the Persian Gulf. Three links in that chain: production, transport, and delivery. Iran just demonstrated they can break the middle link. At the time the Perry sank, the combined fleet in the 5th Fleet area of operations included 11 Arleigh Burke destroyers and 3 Ticonderoga cruisers. Total vertical launch capacity across the fleet, roughly 1,350 cells. Assume 60% loaded with air defense interceptors. That's approximately 810 missiles ready to fire. In just 3 weeks of high-intensity operations, the fleet had already expended an estimated 1,050 interceptors, responding to over 1,400 Iranian ballistic missiles and 3,000 drone launches. The math doesn't work. The magazines are running low, and the ship sent to refill them is gone. The Navy now faces three options. None of them are good. Pull ships back to safe ports for rearming, which means reducing the defensive coverage over the region and accepting that some attacks will reach their targets uncontested. Keep ships on station with depleted magazines and hope Iranian attack tempo slows down, which current intelligence strongly suggests is not happening. Or wait 3 weeks minimum for the next supply ship while operating in a degraded state. Every option is a form of strategic retreat, and the Navy's actual behavior tells you everything. Within 12 hours of the sinking, three destroyers in the northern Persian Gulf repositioned south to the Arabian Sea, moving from 200 kilometers off the Iranian coast to over 600. The USS Batan Amphibious Ready Group, scheduled to enter the Persian Gulf, stopped and held position in the Gulf of Oman for 6 days. Most telling of all, the next supply ship, USNS Richard E. Byrd, which was already en route carrying desperately needed resupply, altered its course entirely, sailing around the Cape of Good Hope at the southern tip of Africa instead of through the Red Sea. That detour adds 14 days to the transit time. The U.S. Navy just admitted, through operational behavior rather than official statements, that it cannot guarantee safe passage for its own supply ships through waters it has patrolled for 8 decades, and that admission carries consequences far beyond this conflict. The Red Sea handles roughly 12% of global trade, 8% of oil exports. 10% of global grain shipments move through it. When Lloyd's of London sees the U.S. Navy rerouting around Africa, they notice. War risk insurance premiums surged over 600%. Major commercial shipping companies began rerouting around the continent. Iran didn't just sink one ship. They effectively closed a global trade corridor. The estimated economic cost, if this disruption persists, runs into the hundreds of billions annually. But there's one more layer to this story that official briefings leave out entirely. China. Satellite imagery confirmed Chinese cargo vessels delivering containerized shipments to Iranian ports in recent months. Missile components, guidance electronics, complete weapon systems. Beijing has enormous strategic interest in watching American naval logistics get stretched to their limits in the Middle East. Every interceptor missile the U.S. fires in the Red Sea is one fewer available for a Taiwan contingency. Every supply ship sunk is a live fire case study in how to defeat American power projection. China is not just watching this unfold. Analysts believe they are actively contributing to it. They are learning, in real time, exactly how to break the supply chain that sustains American military dominance across the Pacific. So where does this leave us? The United States Military Sealift Command operates 15 Lewis and Clark-class dry cargo ships. Not all are deployed simultaneously. Typically, 6 to 8 are at sea at any given time. 2 are confirmed to be transiting to or operating in the Middle Eastern theater right now. Both carrying interceptor missiles, both traveling through waterways where Iranian anti-ship missiles have a 300-kilometer engagement range. Every choke point in the region, the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aden, the Strait of Hormuz, is covered. There is no clean route in. There is no easy solution. The U.S. can increase escorts, but that drains destroyers from other critical missions globally. It can launch sustained strikes against Iranian coastal batteries, but that requires a political authorization that hasn't come. It can suspend supply transits entirely, but then forward-deployed ships run dry and quietly withdraw. Every path leads to the same destination: reduced American presence in the Middle East, not because American ships were defeated in battle, but because the math of sustaining them became impossible. This is what modern strategic defeat looks like. It doesn't announce itself with a surrender ceremony. It arrives gradually in spreadsheets and logistics reports and rerouted shipping lanes. The Robert E. Perry is gone. 30,000 missiles are at the bottom of the Red Sea, and the fleet that depended on them is quietly pulling back. Not because Iran won a naval battle. Because Iran made American logistics unsustainable with a $5 million investment. The supply chain breaks before the front line does. And once the supply chain breaks, everything built on top of it, every alliance, every deployment, every commitment to every partner in the region begins to come apart. We are watching that process begin. The question is no longer whether the United States can win this fight militarily. The question is whether it can afford to stay